Terry Savage is here, 312-981-7200. Get in line with your questions. You can text or call. Terry, the market's above 41,000 now. If we close above 41K on the Dow, that might be an all-time record, right?
It could be. I was looking. The all-time Dow high is, let me just
41,046.
Is 41,046.
46, yeah.
Okay, so in the middle of, oh my gosh, it's the end of the world, and oh my gosh, the S&P and the tech stocks are falling. The Dow, which had lagged behind, last week we talked about it. As I recall, the S&P was up at that point, it was 2 weeks ago, 18%, and the Dow was up only 8 or 9% because of the tech stocks. So now we're having a kind of the new word of the buzzword of the day is rotation.
Yes.
Different kinds of stocks, not tech stocks. S&P not doing well, but the Dow bumping up against its all-time highs.
Which one should we root for? Which index should we care about the most?
You should care about the index you're invested in. So probably, seriously, your 401k
is
likely invested in the S&P, but it is still so far above the Dow, although it is below its all-time highs because the S&P is now down 55.25, and I believe it was over 6,000. I'm not sure if that was a closing.
Do you think the Fed's action this week is going to impact these markets much, or is it, as we said yesterday with Elise Glink, or Monday already baked in?
Well, here's the what's going on. The presumption is 100% in the futures market where money puts its mouth. Forget people talking heads, me, Elise, anybody else, but you know, on CNBC. The futures markets are pricing in a 100% chance of a Fed rate cut in September. Now, the question is, why? We're not down to that low 2% inflation rate, although we're headed there. The economy remains strong. What would cause them? What is it that they see? Well, we have an unemployment rate number coming out this Friday, and we'll have another one at the beginning of September. It's first Friday of every month before they make their decision. And we'll have another consumer price index report also before then, one, maybe two. So in that case, they might have the justification. If you've ever steered I have a pontoon boat. If you steer a pontoon boat, you just can't turn that on a dime. There's a lot of talk that maybe, hey, how could they possibly do this in an election year?
But you have to anticipate what the economy is going to do. Don't wait for it to be at a certain level and then change the rates. I wanted you to talk about that political implication in just a minute. Terry Savage is here. TerrySavage.com is her website. She's the money lady. Anything else you want to say before we go to questions?
Yeah, here's what's dangerous. You give me a minute or two for commercials and you start asking me a question.
I said, why would some Republicans not want the Fed to lower rates?
Let me say this, and then I found such a perfect description of what I'm about to say that when I get back, I will post it as an extra under columns on Terry Savage because people are asking about that. Will it be political? Now, the Fed says, always has said, it is studiously apolitical. It does what it thinks is best for the economy. Of course, in these days, everybody's got conspiracy theories. So let me give you this.
Okay.
Historically, I am reading, and I'm going to post this. It's from J.P. Morgan Asset Management. It's the best piece of research I've seen with a great graph. That's why I'll post a link on my website. But historically, the Fed does not sit on the sidelines during election years, but rather continues to pursue its dual mandate of price stability and maximum employment while maintaining its independence from politics. Now, get this. Since 1980, the Fed has either hiked or cut rates in every single election except 2012, when rates were at zero and the economy was still healing from the financial crisis. Otherwise, the Fed cut rates in five election years and hiked in five election years. And then it goes on to explain that some years there were a series of hikes or a series of cuts, or they reversed themselves. There is no historical sense that it happened to both parties. There's a beautiful chart of how much they hiked or cut and who won or lost. There's just absolutely no political historic connection going back 40 years to Fed rate hikes or cuts in election years. And they are always active. during election years. So let's not talk about that stuff. It's not about that.
Former President Trump recently told Bloomberg News that cutting rates just weeks ahead of the November vote is something that the central bank officials know they should not be doing. It shows a political bias.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. Let's stick to economics here. I refuse to get drawn into that. I just gave you the facts. It's gone both ways, rate hikes and rate cuts, and they haven't materially lined up on one side to favor one party or another. There's a beautiful graphic. This is a result of J.P. Morgan Asset Management. And anybody who wants to argue with me first has to go to terrysavage.com, where as soon as I get back to the office, I will post this and call it an extra political history of Fed rate moves.
630 said, I plan on going part-time at my work when I hit 65 and take Social Security. My Social Security is going to be about $2,600 a month, plus my part-time job will make $70,000 a year. My question is, can I do that? Will Social Security not allow me to make so much money? Terry won't allow you to retire at 65 anyway.
Terry, I am rolling my eyes because I just had this question.
Let's just answer this man's question.
Wait, I just had this question 5 minutes ago in the break room where I grabbed a cup of coffee right here.
Yes.
With someone from WGN. First of all, do not take Social Security until your full retirement age, which for most of you who have not taken it yet will be age 67 or very close to it. Do not. Now, if it is urgent that you take it at 62 or 3 and you know that your Social Security is going to be reduced, and before full retirement age, there is an earnings penalty. You will lose money. If you collect while you're still working and you're not at full retirement age, you lose money. Now, ultimately, I should be honest because Larry Kotlikoff will listen to this tape and he'll remind me that after you do reach full retirement age, they'll recalculate. But while you're working, you lose benefits anyway.
And does that recalculation,
dollar for dollar.
Does that recalculation include reimbursement then of the money you were
losing?
No,
it doesn't include the reimbursement.
Okay, so you'll lose it for those years.
Let me just keep this simple.
Okay.
You do not want to take Social Security before your full retirement age. If you are working, your Social Security payment will be reduced anyway. In those years, less in the year of your full retirement.
To this person's specific question.
So yes, you could take Social Security and you will keep working and you will pay taxes and you will still be paying FICA on your other earnings. It is just the stupidest thing in the world to work and take Social Security early. You should be living on your savings in those 3 or 4 years so you can wait to get your check at full retirement age. And for those of you who could possibly wait till age 70, it is not math. I just finished saying this in the break room. It is not about when you break even. It is about the fact that we're going to come up to the next topic in a minute. If you happen to live longer than you think or than actuarial averages, and I'm going to tell you in a minute how to figure that out, just easily how to figure that out, you'll be so glad you have the much larger, almost 30% larger base check.
If you wait till 70?
If you wait till 70, on which your future inflation adjustments will be made. So this is not about averages. Go terrysavage.com. So when should I take Social Security? Search the columns. It explains it. It's not logical. It's not about math. It's about the fact that if you die having taken Social Security, you took Social Security at 70, and you happen to die at 73, we all think we're above average, but the averages are going to be up in the high 80s. On your deathbed, you're not going to say, darn, I missed out on 3 years of Social Security. I should have taken at 67. But if you live to be 92 or 3, you're going to go, oh, I'm so glad my Social Security check is so much bigger. Mm-hmm. Over the years, it will grow and grow because of inflation. And that's what you really care about, the end of life, not next year.
Terry, going back to this question.
Sorry, it's a passionate topic.
My Social Security is going to be $2,600 a month. I'm going to make $70,000 a year. Can I do that? Will Social Security not allow me to make so much money? This person's going to get paychecks totaling $70,000 for the year, right? Social Security is not going to, I heard everything you said, Terry. You don't need to sigh.
Did you hear that sigh?
Yes, I did.
Sorry, it was audible.
And
okay.
I want you to know what, we heard what you said. It's compelling.
There's no limit,
Terry,
on how much you can earn.
Okay, thank you.
That's just number one.
You needed to say
okay,
that.
There is no limit.
Okay. There's no limit to how much you can earn. But so the compromise is going to be on the amount of money that
right.
you get
it's about
from
24th,
Social Security.
If yes, exactly.
Well, that's the answer to the question. My question is, can I do that? Yes, you can. Will Social Security not allow me to make so much money? They will, but you're going to have a reduced Social Security payment, not because you made $70,000, you're saying, but because
it's about
you started collecting
$24,000 that you can earn, and your check will be reduced.
Got it.
Okay.
Your Social Security check.
Right.
Yeah. You want to take another question, or should we just wrap up the show now?
No, I feel passionately about this because it's not logical, and I understand it's not logical. Here are all the reasons people say, I want my Social Security now. I need it now. I'm living now. I might die younger, so why shouldn't I get it now? Or the government's going to run out of money. Those all seem like logical arguments. I don't argue with people over politics now. I realize they can't be changed. But here's an intellectual argument. If you need it now at 62, and a third of Americans say they do,
yeah.
by all means, take it. You paid into it. It's yours. Your check is significantly reduced. If you're continuing to work, it doesn't make sense because over a certain amount, you'll be penalized. Just let me finish this.
Okay.
So if you could work, please work and dig into your savings until you reach at least full retirement.
Well, that's interesting. That's
helpful. This is the strategy.
But I want more money, now, so better to take it from savings than Social Security.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Better to make it up out of your savings for those 3 or 4, or it'll be now 5 years from 62 to 67. Live on your savings. Don't take Social Security. The second argument is, what if I die too soon? That was the argument I just gave
yep,
you.
Yep,
if you die,
yep.
you die. But if you live, you'll be glad you have it. And
Got
the
it.
Third argument is,
yes.
what if they run out? You know what?
Social Security.
Social Security, I mean. We of Social Security age, me too, are a huge voting force. That's why they haven't tackled this issue. They should be tackling the issue about new funding for it and so forth. They're not going to stop paying out Social Security checks.
Okay.
Period.
I'm just John Williams. Terry Savage is here. She's the money lady at terrysavage.com, the syndicated financial columnist, the author of books, the testifier before members of the cabinet, and also the woman that wants you to wait until you're at full retirement age, right?
Let me say this, just one little fact,
Fine.
And then I'll give you more if you want them. Retirement benefits taken at age 70, Social Security, are 76% higher, even adjusted for inflation, than retirement benefits taken at 62. Retirement benefits taken at age 70 are 76% higher, even adjusted for inflation, than if you take your check at 62. And that higher base is the check base on which future inflation adjustments will be made. So it leverages going out beyond till you live into your 80s or maybe in your 90s. That's the difference between 62 early and 70. Let me give you one more. For every year you delay claiming Social Security past your full retirement age, and it's now about to be 67, so let's just call it that for those people who are still making that decision. For every year you delay claiming Social Security past your full retirement age, your benefits grow by 8%. So it's a big difference from taking it early to waiting till 70. It's a big difference from waiting 67 to 70. And the question is, yeah, what if I miss out? What if I die? No, the question to ask is, what if I live? I want that bigger check when I'm old and I've run out of everything else. It's a check that, unlike an annuity, which is $X a month for life, it's a check that will increase because Social Security has a cost of living adjustment.
Terry, you said something about income thresholds off the air. What was that?
Okay. Now, we were just talking, the first person that called, I didn't have the numbers exactly at hand, but I will give you these facts. In 2024, you can earn up to $22,320, even if you're already taking Social Security early, this is for people who are below their full retirement age. You can earn up to $22,320 without having any impact on your benefit. But beyond that point, you have $1 in benefits withheld for every $2 in earnings. So it does not make sense, maybe if to earn up to $22,300, sure. But you probably shouldn't work and earn more because they're just taking your benefits away. If you, in the year in which you reach full retirement age, which some people will in 2024, will reach the age of 67 and I forget it's 8-9 months, 66 and 8 or 9 months, you can actually earn more than that, $59,520 without a benefit impact. After that, you have Social Security, a dollar taken away for every $3 in earnings above, call it roughly $60,000, but it's $59,520 in the year in which you reach full retirement age. Now, here's the point. Through something called the adjustment of the reduction factor. And, you know, I've become a scholar of Social Security, and Larry Kotlikoff, my co-author and good friend now, is the expert, and I mentioned his name. In a sort of a strange way, you will get the withheld money back if you, when you reach full retirement age in your check. But you will also still have a permanent reduction in your base check because you took it early before full retirement age. I'm going to come back to this point. If you're 62 and you have no other income, hey, my arms around you, take Social Security, that's all you've got. If you have choices, what are choices? Take some money out of my IRA, out of roll over my 401k, earn some extra money, work harder, then don't take it before your full retirement age, which is about 67. And if you really have choices, you will maximize your Social Security to the tune of a significant amount, a benefit that is growing 8% a year. If you will wait till age 70, how do you wait till age 70? You go, okay, I'll take the IRA. And then if you say to yourself, well, the math is though, if I die, that it's not if you die, it's if you live.
Okay, now answer these questions.
Okay.
Terry, this listener says, I've taken Terry's advice. I retired at 69. I'm waiting till I'm 70 to take Social Security. I'm living off of savings. I'm loving every day. Somebody says, if born April of 1968, will the person still get Social Security if retiring at 65? Born April of 68.
You can get Social Security. I can't do the math that fast. Once you're 62, you can get Social Security benefits.
Yeah.
Permanently reduce Social Security benefits, which will be impacted if you also happen to earn money this year over $22,000.
Does this mean, says another listener, does this mean Social Security maxes out at 67? Is there any benefit of waiting till 68 or 69?
Yes, it maxes out at 70. Once you're 70.
But then why do they call 67 full retirement? Okay, so if you wait longer, the longer you wait, the more you're going to get.
Up to through age 70. After 70, don't wait till 71 because it doesn't get any bigger after that.
Got it.
Okay, full retirement age is at the age at which you get your full actuarial calculated benefit.
I'm not trying to make
you
nuts.
You get 8% more a year.
The IRS told me that if I continue to work at age 65, and also want to get my Social Security, if I make over $22,000, they take one-third of my benefits away. That's what you just said a moment ago.
I just
ago.
Said that. They take $1 in benefit for every $2 in earnings above $22,320.
Have you heard anything about the Save Federal Student Loan Program going away?
Ray's on vacation. We've even been texting while she's...
Ray Kaplan.
Yeah, Ray Kaplan. She's in here. There was something I saw that flashed my eye. The federal government has put everything in abeyance right now this month. The court challenges have been multiple. And when Ray and I talked about it, must be a week ago, if you already were enrolled in the Save plan, you should continue paying. But for all those that are in limbo, there is no interest accruing, and we're still waiting for something to happen, is my latest understanding.
All our phone lines are, one line is open now. Let's see if we can get through some phone calls. Peggy, you're on WGN with Terry Savage. Don't make her nuts.
Hi, John. Hi, Terry. Quick question. I'm 57 and a half, and I'm a widow, and they said I could collect my husband's Social Security when I turn 60. So what do you say about that?
There's something that Larry and I wrote about in our book called The Widow Scam. And that is that when you sign up for a widow's benefit, they sign you up for your own as well. So if you're going to collect Social Security on your late spouse's record, you have to make very sure that you are not collecting your own at the same time. Okay?
Okay.
If she does that, though, she's not going to compromise her own Social Security benefits.
No, but it may be that your spouse's benefits is larger. If you, by the way, if you're widowed, your amount is reduced if you collect early at age 60, but you may need that, okay?
Okay.
Your amount.
Your amount on his survivor benefit. I'm trying to remember, and I want you to post this at Ask Terry, if it impacts your benefits completely. I'm actually scrambling right now to actually see if I can find
that. Well, let's do this. While you do that, because we have some business to take care of.
Okay.
Terry will finish this thought and the answer. And to you, Peggy, go to Terry Savage, email Terry at terrysavage.com, and you can actually ask that question. She'll respond there as well. But let's get an answer on the radio in a minute. First, though, we've got more business news. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. United Airlines is the first airline to tap into a state of Illinois tax credit for the purchase of sustainable aviation fuel for use at O'Hare Airport. Cranes reports United will buy as many as 1 million gallons of SAF. The state offers a $1.50 per gallon tax credit for green jet fuel used by carriers operating in Illinois. Sustainable aviation fuel made with various non-petroleum sources is one of the ways airlines are trying to reduce their carbon footprint. That footprint accounts for an estimated 2% of greenhouse gas emissions. United will purchase this order of SAF from a company based in Finland. Deere & Company has announced new layoffs, this time impacting the company's headquarters staff. 300 job cuts are happening at the Moline-based farm equipment maker. Deere had earlier announced layoffs among workers at a factory in East Moline and other manufacturing sites in Moline. It has cut about 15% of its workforce since last November as it responds to a slowdown in demand for tractors and other farm equipment. Deere has also lowered its profit forecast for the year. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Okay, and now we go back to Steve Alexander with the business of food.
Yeah, thank you. And how about this for a restaurant motto?
Boat to plate in 48.
It's a restaurant that's brand new to Chicago.
Our grand opening was yesterday.
It's where Dick's Last Resort used to be in Marina City.
The one thing I can say is it looks nothing like Dick's Last Resort now.
Yeah, Dick's was a rowdy place known for, well, for customers' underwear hanging from the ceiling.
All the underwear is gone. There was a significant cleanup that needed to happen before we could even start demolition.
Who he is and what the new restaurant is after I thank the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Okay, the new restaurant is an old favorite around Boston.
The Chicago opening is the first time ever that Legal Seafoods is going off of the East Coast.
That's Matt King, president and COO of Legal Seafoods, opening in Marina City on the Chicago River. And that name, Matt?
So Legal Seafoods really began in 1950 as a market. It was actually the legal cash market, kind of a precursor to sort of like food stamps, so you could get kind of stamps that were legal tender.
It was a family business, the Berkowitz family. It owned the company until 2020, when the company that also owns Smith & Wolensky bought it.
We now really, between Smith & Wolensky and Legal Seafoods, have bridge-to-bridge State and Dearborn really covered as far as all the outdoor dining space.
It's big.
Two floors, oyster bar, sushi bar on the plaza level, and then you come down our grand staircase, and we've got seating for about 300 people, two private event spaces. You know, during the summer months in Chicago, when everybody wants to be outside, we've got some great space to offer. So it's a very bright, airy space.
Legal Seafood is known among its fans for its clam chowder, which Matt says you can order to go.
Absolutely. We can sell quarts, gallons to go out of the restaurant of the chowder, which, you know, we just won Best of Boston from Boston Magazine.
And other than chowder,
our lobster rolls are second to none. We've got a great sushi program. So, you know, if you're going to go and eat raw seafood, why not get it at the place that's buying the best, highest quality fish you can find?
There's that restaurant motto again.
Boat to plate in 48.
Legal Seafoods, brand new to Chicago at Dearborn and the River in Marina City. And good luck to them. It's nice to see a restaurant opening downtown. On the food calendar, it's National Avocado Day and National Raspberry Cake Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Terry Savage, you ready to go back to some phone calls?
Sure.
That's it?
Yep.
Good. Thank you, Terry Savage. I love your segments on WGM, and I bought your most recent book. I did wait until I was 70, and I'm so grateful I hung in there and I did it. Hey, Terry, my husband is 62 and was just diagnosed with leukemia. He is considering taking Social Security at 65, so he will at least get something for everything he paid in. Obviously, he's not going to live as long as the age charts predict. What are your thoughts about this scenario?
I've always said, and it's a sidebar caveat, unless you have a very shortened life expectancy, I would still advise waiting till age 67, because if he takes his benefits early, before full retirement age, if, God forbid, you wind up taking spousal survivor benefits, your benefits will also be reduced. So he should wait at least until your full retirement age. The other thing, I'll make two more quick points. We talked to a widow. I want you to go to MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. The reason I hedged is because for widows, yes, you can claim benefits at 60. They will be reduced benefits, widows' benefits. If you happen to have children under the age of 18, you can also get benefits for those children. If you will please go to MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com to figure out what your benefits would be versus taking the widow's benefits now, it can do all those calculations for you instantly. That's Larry Kotlikoff's fabulous website. I always said he's going to win a Nobel Prize one day. And I want to add one more thing. We never talked about this, but it's my latest column just posted. Because how long will I live is about the biggest question in financial planning that there is. And the American Academy of Actuaries and the Society of Actuaries have just this week launched a new website called longevityillustrator.org. Go to terrysavage.com. It's right now the top column, and it's about how long will I live. It will give you, if you will just put in, and especially it's complex when a couple is planning, because there's different odds of one of you surviving till at least, well, let me give you some idea. All you have to do is put in your age, your planned or desired retirement age, whether you're a smoker, and rate your general health. With one click, it will give you a graphic representation of living to a specific age, and you can print this out. I gave an example. Susan's 65. She wants to retire, but all the key to her plans is how long will she live? Now, Susan thinks she's above average in intelligence and being fit, so she could live longer than average. This illustrator gives her a simple graphic showing Susan has a 73% chance of living until age 85, but a 53% chance of living until age 90, and in fact, a 29% chance of living to 95. And a 10% chance of making it to 100. You don't want to do your retirement planning based on averages, because if you beat the averages and you need to know the probabilities, you don't want to be broke at age 85. At least you'd like to know you're getting your bigger Social Security check. So read the column at terrysavage.com. And there's a link, two links actually, in the column at the beginning and at the end to the longevity calculator. Again, if you're planning with a spouse, all kinds of things. Well, what if they both live to be, or what are the odds? Mm-hmm. So this is a great new tool, and a financial plan is great, but only as great as your estimates of the probabilities that you might be one of those people who beats the averages.
For the income limits, is that just actively earned money, or does taxable withdrawals from IRAs count?
No, those would count.
Those would count as
earnings.
Those
would count.
And questions come from Jim. You're on WGN. Jim, thanks for holding. What can we do for you?
Hi, John and Terry. Appreciate you taking my call, and thank you for all the great information you share with us. I got on the T-bills, and in December of 2023, I purchased a $30,000 par amount T-bill. And at that time, the discount they quoted was $787.15. Then upon the redemption in June of 2024, the refund came back at $781.84.
No, I'm confused. Stop. That wasn't a refund. What happens with T-bills is your interest is paid up front. So they never took $30,000 out of your account. They took $29,312 or whatever it was. And then you rolled them over, and the new rate's about the same as the old, and the interest dropped back in your account. You still got $30,000 riding at the Treasury in T-bills face amount. And if they roll over again, you'll probably get a little less than $700 because T-bill rates are coming down now.
We're out of time.
Oh, no. Not fair.
TerrySavage.com, and she's here on Wednesdays. And if you listen, this was a spirited, lot of information hour.